When God gave us Jesus, He gave us everything. But when He gave us the Holy Ghost, He gave us Himself. For when He died, I died. When He was buried, I was buried. When He was raised from the dead, I was raised from the dead. Now He's seated at the right hand of God, I'm seated at the right hand of God. You have no right over me.
Expand Your World with Pastor David Obwili.
I see tremendous things happening for you this year. That's why deliverance is 70% repentance. If you actually do repentance well enough, sometimes you don't need to bind. It's true. Because what it does is that it removes the legal grounds that Satan has to operate in the person's life. A person that is appointed to death can reverse it just by repentance. You know what gives death power? Sin. Do you know what gives Satan power? Sin. Repentance clears the obstacles so that our feet can walk on a sure path. Matthew chapter 5, let me provide you some guidelines that I just got an instruction, and I have some things on prayer I wanted to show you, but the Holy Spirit is, I don't want to say messing with my, you know, but He is the boss. So let me do that, you know. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites. Now, there are three things that Jesus spoke about. One is prayer, one is fasting, and the other is giving. All of them are uphill tasks. All of them are forms of sacrifice. Prayer is burning incense. Giving is burning your finances. And fasting is burning pleasure, starting with food. But it's not only food that you fast. Now, fasting takes you where only prayer can't. Fasting combined with prayer accomplishes what only prayer can't. If prayer only accomplishes it, we don't need fasting. Now, fasting and prayer and giving accomplishes what two of them can't. They are called the combined power factors. There are three of them: prayer, fasting, and giving. When things get to where it gets to and you combine them, that door must open. But then, it's important to teach, provide guidelines on this, because there are people who think just once you are not eating, or you are not, you know, enjoying pleasure, that is it. No, there are things that can neutralize your prayer. There are things that can cancel the effect of your fasting. And if the type of giving you're doing is something like charity, you want to help the poor, showcasing what you're doing, publicizing it, also nullifies the effect. You see, when you give something to somebody that you are better than, and you go about broadcasting it, apart from the fact that you humiliated the person, in the sight of God, you have gotten your reward. Because what you want to achieve is a political point, and you have achieved it, there's no other reward for you. God also applies that principle to fasting and prayer. He said when you pray, you go into your secret place or secret closet. Now, he's talking about private devotion. There is public prayer. There is united prayer when you are uniting with others. There are laws that operate in those ones. For example, seven kinds of prayer have different principles or laws governing them. In united prayer, one of the laws is that we have to all know what we are praying about. So sometimes people gather more than one person in prayer and you don't even let us know what we're praying about. There might be this time of personal edification. All of us are praying. That one, we're just achieving things for ourselves. But in united prayer, if you're going to get us to pray and get something, because united prayer is far more powerful than individual prayer. We have to know what we're praying about. Number two is that we must have agreement. If we do, we're going to see results. Tremendous results. Corporate prayer, like when we come together, is 100 times far more powerful than what you do on your personal life. You can achieve some things here that will take you a lot of hard work on your own. But when you do your private whatever, maybe you we don't know how many days you're fasting, for example, now. We've declared 40 days. We don't know. Maybe you're even going 40. Maybe you're even adding another 10 days on top. Don't go out publicizing it. When you declare a public fast, you have to let people know what it is and the number of days we're going. But when you do some of these personal things, don't go boasting about it. When you do, you lose the reward. Because all you wanted to achieve is to make impression on others that you are very spiritual. That impression is your reward. That's what Jesus kept teaching here. So let's read. When you fast, I'm reading from verse 16. Do not be like the hypocrites who put on a sad countenance. They disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Have you seen? The issue is that they want to impress people. I say unto you, verily, they have their reward. That impression they have made is their reward. That means what they are asking for, they don't get. Verse 17. But you, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face. Today we'll say put pancake, put some foundation, spray perfume, brush your mouth, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you well, openly. The things we do, those investments, those things we do, come, the result comes openly. So, because of these teachings, you now see some people, when it's time to donate money to church or to give towards mission, they write anonymous. Whenever you write anonymous, you are creating confusion. You are just exhibiting ignorance. First of all, you are causing confusion to the finance department because you are making accountability hard for them. If somebody takes that money, there is no way to account for it. There's something like anonymous. That is not charity, my friend. That's kingdom giving. If not, tell me why Jesus went and stood at the offering basket when people are coming. He wants to see what they are putting there. So, there are three types of fast. I need to make that clarification. And we are not telling you which one to do. It depends on what you are going for. And sometimes people's health condition. But I'm going to tell you which one you should not do. And why. The first type of fast is called partial fast. Everyone say partial. Okay. The second type is called normal fast. Everyone say normal. Some people call it total fast. The third is called absolute fast. Say it, absolute. Okay, partial, normal, and absolute. Those are the three types of fasting that they are. What is partial fast? That's when you don't eat food. But you can drink juice, you can take fruits, you can eat vegetables,
especially people with health problems. What you do in partial fast, you stay away from food and drinks that minister pleasure. But you eat the things that can still give you energy. Because some people, the type of work they do, think about maybe that messy man that had to carry block up to that place, down, and all that, and he has to do that till 6, and he's going to do it throughout January, and he's fasting. To have the energy to keep his work, God provided this type. Like Daniel did it. They call it the Daniel fast. Daniel was not given 3 weeks off from government work. He was an administrator, a state administrator. He had to make decisions. And he needed to go on a long fast, 21 days, to sort out certain things. So he chose a partial fast. And let me read it for you. Daniel chapter 9. Okay, let's pick chapter 10. In chapter 9, he didn't describe the exact type. In chapter 9, in chapter 10, verse 1, 2, 3, he described the nature of the fast, the type of fast. Chapter 9, he told us, I went to seek God with fasting, with prayer, with all of that. If you turn to chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, you will see that. But let's look at chapter 10. Let's pick from verse 2 so that we can get to the point. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. It's 3 weeks fast. Verse 3. I ate no pleasant bread. Underline the word pleasant. Anything that is going to give you pleasure, because the purpose of fast is to stay away from pleasure. Once you understand that, it's not just to stay away from food. Food is one of. If you're too into sports, you are the type that can't do without it. Slow down. If you, whatever it is, it might be gisting that is your own. It might be TV that you need to slow down. That's why for husband and wife too, they also recommend slowing down on sex, even though it's not a sin. So you can give yourself to fasting. That doesn't mean if a couple have sex within this whatever, that he has nullified their fast, no. But you might have to bring out days of concentrated attention to achieve serious things. Because there are things you achieve in fasting, you don't achieve in any other setting. If you're struggling with a habitual sin, for example, ordinary prayer doesn't break it, it's fasting. Yes. If you're bound to a particular sin, and when you start, initially you might be facing the struggle. There's a level you get to in fast, it breaks. It's a principle. If you are bound to drug, for example, fasting breaks it. There is a type of evil spirit called this kind. They say that kind does not go but by prayer and fasting. There are some type of oppression. There are some type of bondages that breaks when you humble your soul with a fast. There are many benefits of fasting. But look at that. I ate no pleasant bread, neither can flesh. Now, that's translation. That's meat. Nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 full weeks. The last part, the anointing part, Jesus said you should do it. So that human beings don't start, you know. Jesus said now. But in those days, they even pour ashes on their face. They don't need to do that. Now, you know, when you start doing long fast, your breath, your mouth smells. Some of you have not done long fast, but when you do like from 7 days fasting up, dry, or just drinking only water, it's a place you get to, even when you finish brushing. So you really have to brush. And you might have to find something to be licking. Not toffee. Something that cleans your breath and makes it. So what is the principle here? What are those things that you normally enjoy? I want to tell you now, you know your favorite food this January, you have to slow down on them. You know those ones that you eat because it has health value, but you don't really, that's what fasting is. That's what you need to get into now. Until 3-4 weeks. If you do this, if you see the results you will see in your life this year, if you see the things you will see, both in your personal life and in your circumstances, this is the lowest you can go, partial fast. You can see we are not putting a commandment which type, so that you know what can go for you, because people start somewhere and grow from there. This is the lowest you can go. This is what Daniel did, and the prince of Persia was overthrown. This can bring down a strong man over a city. Talk less of the one over your life. It can bring it down. It can overturn the prince of Persia in your family, or whatever is that demonic power in your place. This is what he did. This is what he did. If you read down now, verse 12, you will see angel Gabriel appeared and told him, there has been a war since you started this fast, and we are bringing down the prince of Persia. This was what brought Michael on the scene. And when we finish, we are bringing down the prince of Greece. 21 days fast, overthrew two major principalities, even though it was partial. Because you can still see that the man is still fasting pleasure, all the things that will be sweet to him. What the Jews do is that they eat vegetables. They find those things that sustain their health. And I also want to make it clear now, this one I'm giving you a commandment. In all fast, drink water. That way you gain maximum benefit from fasting. Fasting is not only supposed to give you spiritual result, breakthrough. It's supposed to make you healthier. It's supposed to detoxify your body and produce a healthier person in 2011. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
So in order to produce that, you need to be flushing, because it will be breaking down. You know, the things that will manifest in 10 years, in 5 years, or maybe this year, has been accumulating. That's how sickness builds up. It gets to a point now, it now breaks out. So what fasting does is that it detoxifies the system. It removes some of those things. But you now need water to be flushing them out of your system. When you do long fast, like 40 days fast, from 21 days, even 14 up, there's a place you get to, you're drinking water. If you see the kind of things that will be coming out of you. Meanwhile, you're not eating food. I'm even talking about dry, you are not eating at all. But you see the kind of things that were coming out from your toxins and all kinds of things, and sometimes food poisoning, things we have accumulated over the years. They build under our fat layers, hide under our muscular layers, and in future they start causing problems. You know, the indulgences of the youth, we pay for it in our old age. Some people start in their middle age. Oh, cannot, the knees, rheumatism. No, it didn't start then. The second type of fast is normal fast. What is normal fast? No food, no juice, no vegetables, only water. The only thing you take there is water. Not spice water or sugary water. water. That's the normal fast. That's the normal fast. So that might be the type you want to do, you know, and that's the type many people are doing. A lot of people are breaking their own 6 p.m. every day and then continuing the next day for the 40 days period. But during that period, no food, only water. Then they eat in the evening and continue. A friend of mine said, that one you also break in the evening and continue. It's a form of partial fast too. But it's all right. It's all right. It can be argued. Another said it is normal fast while you are doing it. But the point I want to make here is that's the type of fasting Jesus did for 40 days. What he did not do is breaking in the evening. He went the whole 40 days. But one thing he did, he was drinking water.
Don't think Jesus did 40 days without water. He would have killed the church that he came to raise, because he would have given us a bad example. Yes. Because you know, anything he does, we do. Now, when I was in school, one general like this, one brother joined the fellowship newly, and he didn't hear all the things. He wouldn't come when we were doing all the teachings, but he heard that they were fasting and just started declared his own. 21 days fast without water. After the first week, his kidney collapsed. And when we were called, we rushed there to find him locked up in one room, dying, and we got him to hospital fast. They started giving him drips and pumping water into his system. And finally, they were able to get one back and the other one damaged. Because it's not what the Bible taught. Let me ask you, hunger pang and thirst pang, which one is stronger? It's thirst. Because man can live 40 days without food. It's been proven over and over again. See? 3 days without water. The maximum is 7. Some people have survived that. There are a few exceptions, but 3 is normal for healthy living. And they said, but not up to 1 second without hope. Because once hope is gone, suicide follows. Now, let me make it clear. If you want to do absolute fast, because the third type of fast is called absolute fast, that means you are not drinking water, you are not eating food, you are not taking any vegetable, any juice, anything. Make sure that it's not more than 3 days. Everywhere in the Bible you find absolute fast is 3 days. It's never more than 3 days. When Esther declared it, when all the other people you know that declared it, it is never more than 3 days. And my advice would be, before you start it, hydrate your system very well. Drink a lot of water and then go. There are sometimes serious issues and people really want to register their seriousness in the spirit world, and they do that. Absolute fast. But I will show you a man that did it for 40 days and survived it. His name is Moses. And it's always important, because he is the one people go to quote. So when they say that Moses did 40 days, Jesus did 40 days, they assume that Jesus did what Moses did. No. Jesus was drinking water. One of the ways you know is that the Bible said after that fasting, he what? Tested. Hungered. He wasn't thirsty, but he was hungry. When you go for 40 days and finish and you're not thirsty, and you're only hungry, you'll be shaking water. He's your master. You can also ask him. I've asked him on a personal level. First time I heard it, I thought the preacher was trying to, you know, how can you say Jesus was drinking water? Don't you know he was the Son of God? He could. Everything he did when he was here, he was doing it as an example for us. You have to understand this. Second reason you will know he didn't drink, he was drinking water, is that Satan did not test him to convert water to wine or to convert something to... Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Satan tested him where he was desperately in need. Turn some stone to bread. Because you know, after a long fast, the power that is available is awesome. So when I hear, they say, like, it's in this Lagos, you know, you start hearing things like, oh, Western Nigeria. So there are some people who are men of God who go to Dibia or to native doctor for power. That's a weakling. Because the price for power is constant. It's prayer and fasting. Simple. It's constant. It doesn't rise. It doesn't fall. Prayer alone brings power. But if you want to move to some dimensions, deny your flesh. You know, man fell through what he ate. You will conquer the highest level of satanic opposition by denying your flesh. Sexual appetite, gluttony, drugs, some other kinds of bondages. I don't mean sexual appetite in the sense that after fast, you won't feel something for... No, I mean sexual bondage. Okay, let's see Moses. Verse 27 of Exodus 34. Oh, you can project it. Exodus 34, verse 27. Yeah. What happened here? Why did Moses stay this long in the presence of God? God gave him 10 commandments. And when God brought him to give it to him, God wrote it with his own finger on 2 tables of stones. Some say 5 here, 5 here. Some say 4 here, 6 here. Our responsibilities to God, 4 of them here, are responsibilities to one another on the other one. And Moses broke those stones. So God invited him and said, this time I want you to do the writing so you see how hard it is. Now, that is different from writing on paper with your biro. This is writing on stone. First of all, you have to carve the stone from the rock, the mountain, and prepare it like a tablet, flat. And when you finish carving it, then you are going to carve the words. Do you know how long it takes to carve a G, O, D on stone? So by the time Moses finished writing the Ten Commandments, 40 days have passed. People who write books, people who write poems, people who write songs, people who preach, who depend on revelations, people who seek for guidance, who make policies for companies, there are times, man, you need to mine, because diamonds are not found on the surface. You need some digging. That's what fasting is. Okay, let's check this out. And the Lord said unto Moses, write down these words, for after the tenor of these words, I made a covenant with thee and with Israel. Look at the next verse. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. He wrote upon the tables, that's the stones, the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Go on, the next verse, verse 29. And it came to pass when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai with the 2 tables of testimony, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone why he talked with God. Apart from making us healthier, purifying the body, it also causes the body to soak up the glory of God. Your spirit soaks it up till your mortal body starts showing, reflecting it. Now let me tell you part of this implication of this. The guy did not know that his face was shining. And if you read the next verse, okay. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. If you go down, you see that he had to put a veil over his face, cover his face, before he could talk with the people. Now, why did Moses survive 40 days without water? Because he was living in the middle of the Shekinah glory. If the Shekinah also comes out here and you stay in it, you can actually go for 50 days if you want. A lady was preaching in US Mariam would water Etta. And the glory of God rolled into the auditorium, and halfway in the middle of her message, her hand was lifted up, she froze. And she stood like that for 3 days. Didn't blink an eye. Some were wondering whether she was dead. Some scientists and doctors were coming to measure whether she was alive or dead. She was alive, but she was frozen. And you know, after 3 days, she just continued the message where she stopped. She didn't know that any time has passed. She knew she was in a trance, but she thought it was just a second. But in time, 3 days had passed. And she continued the message. But you know what happened is that the meeting she was preaching did not stop. What happened is that people started going, telling what is happening. Multitudes started coming. And by the time she opened back her mouth, there was a multitude that you can't. Then signs and wonders started, all kinds of things, you know. A woman. Because the glory can suspend the metabolic systems and all of that and preserve the body. There's this mammoth they discovered from Russia that was frozen. And they said that animal was frozen for over 2,000 years. And when they dug it up, frozen in ice in Siberia, the last food the animal ate, is still green inside them. They found that the flesh was still flesh. The flesh of the animal was still, you know, no putrefaction, no nothing. As if the animal died that day. So you can just unfreeze the leg and cook it as I eat it. 2,000 years old. That's what ice did to. That's what the glory of God does to your body. You don't train a genuine messenger in a palace, you train him in the wilderness. John said, I'm the voice crying where? In the wilderness. Not a voice crying in the palace. It's after you have trained him, you can bring him out into the city. You don't train a real minister in comfort. No. Prosperity will destroy him. It's the ones that have cooked in the wilderness that you can bring into prosperity. Will make you empty your account. You want to be a minister of the gospel. If you can't give God your all financially, you're not ready to give in your life, your all. There will be parts you will keep. And Satan will be running it. About three major areas we drill them so well. This prayer and fasting is one of them. One man who can pray is better than 100 who can preach. Never forget it. So now, never, I know why I'm giving this instruction, because there are people who always take things to extremes. If you now say, pastor has called for 40 days, I say, I'm doing 40 days. Absolute fast. Dry. That's what they call dry fast. Nothing wet or food near your mouth. So that's what you are doing. We did not send you. Because they will come and carry you somewhere and rush you to a hospital. I've seen people die because they were not taught. So if you want to do absolute, in the midst of the 40 days, you can find 3 days and go absolute. You will achieve the result. And then break it, you know. But if you want to go long without food, be drinking water. But if you know you can't handle that, or maybe you have health problems or whatever, do partial fast. You can still bring your principalities down. If you have heard what we said, say amen. Is it clear enough?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let me give you two more important elements. On 31st night, I said that day will not end. And God gave that instruction. Without you going to find somebody you are better than, to give him something. A lot of you don't know what I was saying and why I was saying it. I'm not going to tell you why. And I said, even if it's a cup of water, even if it's akara, one bowl, buy for the person. Those of you who did it, the tremendous. That day some were buying books and giving to people. Here is the principle. The altar of prayer and the altar of burnt offering or sacrifice are connected. If you go in the altar of prayer and cry till Jesus come, but they check your altar of sacrifice, it is empty, the prayer will not be answered. God doesn't answer the prayers of misers. He answers the prayer of givers. So I'm going to show you. When you declare a fast, it is not only the hunger strike that impresses God. It is when you add 7 ingredients. That's what is called acceptable fast. Everyone say acceptable fast. It's not hunger strike that makes God hear. There are 7 ingredients that make up a fast. So write 7 components of an acceptable fast and put number 7, denying yourself food. So I'm going to let you know that food, not eating or drinking, is just the 7th. There are 6 other components. Put number 6, deny yourself pleasure. If you are the type that can't do without sex, if you reduce the amount of intake of sex this period, if you can even do without it, God counts it to you. You are like somebody. If it's 40 days that you did, he might put it to you like somebody who did 80 days. Did you just hear what I said? Huh? Find those other things that grab you. Some of those little idols in your life. And you eliminate them. It moves the quality of your fast to another level. So you have 5 to go. Let me take you and show you the 7 elements of an acceptable fast. And when I finish, and I'll show you the 7 blessings of a fast. I think that will be enough for today. Eh? Can we do that? Because since they can be found in one chapter, can we do it? Okay, put as number 5. Okay, no, let's not make it number 5. Let's make it number 1. Put as number 1, finding the needy and the less privileged and giving something to them. I had a brother, when we are fasting, he will keep the breakfast, the lunch, because it's 6 to 6. Plus the night. So by 6, it will combine all the food. I want to teach you on prayer. The Holy Spirit says I should clarify this. Some people are already missing out so that they can gain the benefit. God wants us to get the result of what we are doing. Now see the idea God has about a fast. That if you say you are fasting food, he wants you to make that thing you are giving up benefit another person. If you find somebody who don't have something to eat, who is struggling, who is going through, and you put some money in his hands, you know, maybe you eat twice a day, you decide to take one of the meal and give it to somebody. Hey, the quality of your fast. That's what makes a fast an acceptable fast. Not that you delayed everything so you can now pounce on it later in the evening. He said, I normally take breakfast by... That's what one guy was telling me. You know, Pastor, I normally take breakfast by 7:30. So now that this thing is 6 to 6... I just wake up early and put something in. Before I go to work, am I still in order, Pastor? I say you are in order. You are physically in order, spiritually out of order. Because if you finish this thing, you don't lose any fat. Let's not even talk about muscle. No fat. How do you detoxify if all this fat you have accumulated? Don't you see how God created life, dry season, rainy season? It should be like that. This discipline, like first fruit, like fasting, like this prayer thing, we're teaching you at the beginning of the year. It's not just so that you can get breakthrough. You're going to get a lot of breakthrough. But these are disciplines that actually makes a spiritual man. Isaiah 58. And this is where we're going to close. Next time we meet, Saturday, and then of course a Sunday, I'm now going to take you on practical prayers that make things happen. There are specific areas of your life we're going to, and these are prayers you should, it gets results. These are not, there are prayers. I also do prayers, but there are prayers that work. And there are scriptural based prayers. So we're going to go back on it. Isaiah 58. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression. This is God saying, tell my people what they're doing wrong. And the house of Jacob, their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinances of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Now, here is the question God's people are asking, and that's where we start, verse 3. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why did we fast and you didn't do anything? Why have we afflicted our soul and you took no notice? How come somebody, I just finished all this fast and you still didn't do anything? Now, it's time for us to get the answer. In fact, God is answering. In the day of your fast, you find what? Pleasure. I've told you that one, put it as number 6. Then food as the last. Hunger strike alone. Because some people, that's what they're doing. Only hunger strike. I think that's what makes God here. No. You find pleasure. You find pleasure. In those days, we are doing a 21 days fast. And there's this sister, so carnal. She went for party twice. While we're doing a 21 days fast, and she was doing. You see how people nullify their fast. The next line, you exploit all your labors. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate. The second thing after affecting the less privileged is eliminating every form of strife and offense. Write it down. In fasting, if you are fasting and praying and trying to achieve, and you are engaging in quarrels, in strife, in malice, in offense, it destroys the fast. It destroys the fast. So, acceptable fast has an element of walking in love in it. He just gets that prayer answered. Forgive if there are people that have hurt you, if there are offenses, if there are things you are. And, you know, I had a brother. And actually, it's the same guy that keeps all his food. Because the food is so important to him. If you see how he quarrels, if you see how he will fight, the size of the garri, because the afternoon one is a swallowable. and they will go and carry and put for him. You carry it, you go and keep it in his room and pause. He's fasting. The third element of an acceptable fast is break every form of wickedness or oppression. People work for you. You have people who serve under you. You have people you lead. Become a servant leader. Check where you are cheating, where you are oppressing. Break it off. Lose every yoke. Break off every form of wickedness. Reduce the exercise of power. It's a mystery about power. The more of it you use, the less of it you have. Use more of influence. Reduce that hard hand. You deal with people. You punish them. It makes the higher person than you to show you mercy. It gives you a positioning before God that attracts divine intervention. A gentleman came, and I recommended, because he was having a lot of problems, I recommended a 3 days fast for him. On the night of the second day, the Lord summoned me in the night. He showed me some things, and I sent for him. He won't pay the people working for him. If you see what he does, and he's going to cry to his master. Meanwhile, the people that are crying to him, he hasn't heard their own prayer. Families that depend on that money, he's owing many of them from different months. And he's going to God. And what he's fasting for is financial breakthrough. This is business expansion. The Lord said to me, all the things you are declaring on him will not happen until he goes to. He said if he is that he doesn't have the money, the company is going through problem, and he really doesn't have the money, it's a different thing. It's just a type of wickedness he has developed over the years. And he carried it into the kingdom. If the life of people don't matter to you, then why will yours matter to God? Let's go down. I've got to close. In the day of your fast, I'm going back to verse 4. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate, to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Have you seen? You don't fast like this to make... This kind of fast will not get you anywhere. Is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? That's what Jesus was telling us. All this outward display will not make anything. It doesn't add anything to the substance of fasting. You become carry long face. Maybe you don't even greet people so that people will know that you are in a consecration. You know, fasting is also called a period of consecration. That you are in a... No, it doesn't add anything. God even said, will you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Then he tells us what the acceptable fast is. Can we look into it from verse 6? Is this not the fast that I have chosen? He lists the content. Number one, to lose the bond of wickedness and to undo heavy burden. Anything relating to oppression. Look into even your maids, the people that work for you, the people that are under you. Look into that. This general, look into it. to undo heavy burden, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Verse 7. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? And when you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Did you see that? You also, I gave you as number one. Remember the less privileged and those ones. The Bible says, do good to all men, especially they of the household of faith. That means look around you within the church, your own brethren. The girl wears slippers to church. And you are the queen in Lagos, a beauty queen. You won't get, this is the time, not just to look up, but to look across and see what is happening with your people. Then another one is to look at into your family. Take note of that. When you see the naked, that you cover him, and that you hide not yourself from your own flesh. For example, what's happening with your wife? What's happening with your children? You know, if anyone doesn't look after his own, he has denied the faith, he's less than the infidel. What about your parents? Because some of us live in Lagos and we're all there, but we have parents that are suffering. They don't have anything. What's going on? If you remember them and, you know, and come out with something, a plan for them, something you're going to bless them, that will shoot your fast to another level. Have you seen? While we're crying to God to answer our prayer, God is also saying there are people you can answer their prayers. If you can find one or two of them, look at the Lazarus that is at your gate and do something for them, that your own prayer will just be answered like that. Okay. If you do this, how many have I given you? Have you added your family, your spouse, your kids, and your parents? There is a standing instruction about honor your father and mother. There is a standing instruction that if you don't look after your spouse or your kids, you are worse than the unbeliever. You have denied the faith. It affects your prayer life. If you are also a woman and you are not honoring the man that is in your life, you are not respecting the man that God placed over your life, it will cancel this whole thing. Oh, Lord. Okay. I'll do that. Malachi chapter 2, please. Just fast, let's see if you can get this. You know, verse 13. This is the second thing you do. God is telling the children of Israel the things that are hindering their prayers. He got to chapter 3, he talked about tithing. He got to chapter 2, he talked about this issue, disharmony in family. He got earlier on, he talked about offering polluted sacrifices. Okay, let's pick this one. This is the second thing that you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and crying, so he does not regard the offering anymore. He doesn't answer your prayer. He doesn't do all that. Nor receive it with goodwill from your hands. Yet you said, for what reason? And that's the question I want to answer. Anytime you see this thing, he's telling you what hinders prayer, fasting, what neutralizes. For what reason? Okay. I like the Jews. He said, tell us, for what reason? Why are you not hearing us? Verse 14, he said, because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously.
Yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. But did he not make them one, having the remnant of the Spirit? Why one? He seeks godly offspring. Therefore, take it to yourself. Let none deal deceitfully with the wife of his youth. For the Lord God of Israel says that he hates divorce. Apart from divorce proper, if you don't honor the woman you marry, the Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 3, you treat her with honor as a weaker vessel, that your prayers be not hindered. So family disharmony. You see another woman, the women, the Bible said the head of every woman is the man, the head of man is the Christ. He said every woman should submit to her husband because of the angels, because the supernatural world will not bow to you while you are dishonoring the man you are given to cover. He said a woman should not pray or prophesy with her head uncovered. When you go into prayer, you go into all these prophetic issues, and you are dealing with altars, or you are dealing with powers, you're dealing with the powers of darkness, without your head covered, without being under, it works against you. It doesn't work well. It doesn't benefit you anything. How many of you can understand that? You don't want to come cover the altars with just prayer, crying, begging God, and nothing is happening. Let's remove the obstacles. Live at peace with the wife of your youth. Treat a woman with honor. You're beating your wife. You're going to be your harvest. It's unanswered prayer. A year of jaga-jaga life. That's what you're going to have. Why will you do that? Why will you do that? When you dissent with a woman, why will you disrespect the man, the first president and commander-in-chief God has given you? Honor that guy. Amen. I think I've given you enough. Okay, let's read verse 8 so you can add that. The seven blessings of fasting. The seven blessings of fasting. It's listed there too in Isaiah 58. The same Isaiah 58. The seven blessings of fasting is listed there. I think it's good to know. Oh, I didn't give you the seven of them. It's time to look at my paper. I will just be calling. You know the one you have missed. Principles of acceptable fast. Humility. Humble yourself. Fasting is called humbling one's soul before God. The first thing you release are all the yeast of pride and arrogance from your life. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Okay, remember the poor or the less privileged. Remember your family. Your spouse, your children, your turn away from strife, malice, unforgiveness. Break every yoke of oppression and wickedness. Turn away from pleasure. Oh, there's even one I didn't give you. Turn your tongue from speaking evil. It's this seven plus absence of food and drink that makes an acceptable fast. Turn your tongue from speaking evil. Talking about people, destroying people at their back, gossiping about people. Now, did you get it? Can I now give you the benefits? I think it would be good for you to know the benefits. Eh? Jesus already said one. Your Father who sees in secret will do what? Will reward you openly. He will bring you promotion. How many people want to advance this? You don't want to stay where you were last year. If where you were last year was good, you don't want to stay there. You want to go to better and best. How many of you want to? Then if where you were last year was bad, maybe last year the enemy really messed things up. Staying there is even far. You're going to recover what the enemy took and then move into further things. How many of you want that? Fasting is the key. I see you, you're going to blossom like the Garden of Eden this year. It's true. In the spirit, I can see the things, the changes that are occurring. I can see it. People are being watered and being manured by God to produce, you know, a fruitful vine. Your life is going to blossom this year. I say your life is going to blossom this year. Always remember, fasting and giving go together. Always remember, fasting and prayer go together. Fasting is a triplet. It goes with giving, and it goes with what? Prayer. If you understand it, you have understood it. So any time in your life, say, I want to do a fast. Always remember, it's not hunger strike. It's a time of prayer and a time of giving. It's not a time of saving. It's a time of giving. It's a time of digging deep so you can go high. Because you don't add on buildings. Just keep adding height when the foundation has not gone further. You're going to crash. That's what fasting is. Amen. Oh, the benefits. Okay, Isaiah 58 from verse 8. Wow. There are 7 benefits. It's awesome. Number 1, then your light shall break forth like the morning. And your health shall spring forth speedily. The second benefit is healing or health. If there is sickness, it will go. If there is health already, it will blossom. The first is your light shall spring up, you know, like the morning. What it means is that if there is any area there is confusion, like issues about vision, issues about purpose, issues about direction, it has not been clear. You have not been able. What happens that the answer, the direction becomes clear. You know, like when water settles, maybe there are one or two pieces, it settles and the clear water comes out. That's what happens. That's what happens. There will be clear direction for your life. There will be clear. You will know where you are going. Let's go on. Your health shall spring forth speedily. And your righteousness shall go before you. Do you know what this means? It's divine vindication. You know what is vindication? If somebody has believed a lie about you, or so they cooked up something and it looks like evil triumph, when a man goes into fasting, his vindication comes. And it comes so well that it is made clear. And the people that connive to do that thing are brought into ruin. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Now, the word righteousness is used in two terms. It's used for right living or right standing. But it's also used for vindication. That's your justice. Whatever you deserve, if they have robbed you of your promotion or robbed you of your right, it will break forth. Nobody can hold it back. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Okay. And the glory of the Lord shall be your regard. This is one of my best when I talk about fast. The presence of God will be rich in your life. It will be manifest. Somebody asked me when. In some cases, I will be honest with you. Even one time I undertook a long fast, I didn't feel any special presence of God while I was doing the fast until I finished it. And then this thing broke out in the year. There are sometimes I start fasting and that I get to a point that fire envelops me. But what he's telling you now is that the presence of God will come and cover you, overshadow, and that you're going to know a dimension of the presence of God. I told you that the purpose of prayer, one of the greatest purposes of prayer, is to communicate God's presence to the person, even beyond what you're praying about. Never forget that one. Okay? The presence of God shall be your rear guard. Part of it is that it provides you protection and covering. Then verse 9, then you shall call, and the Lord will answer, and you will cry, and he will say, here I am. Fasting takes prayer to another level and gives it speedy answer. If you have been praying about something and it's not working, this is the period to get it. Fasting draws God, you know, to intervene at a faster rate. than prayer. Then you will call and the Lord will answer and you will speak and he will say, here am I, he will manifest. So you have answer to prayer. If you take away the yoke from your midst and the pointing of finger and the speaking of wickedness, that's what I told you I added that I didn't give you before. This issue about evil speaking and accusing people or backbiting people, it's part of what destroys fast. If you take it away, then verse 10 said, if you extend your soul to the hungry, satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness. We have already treated that. Your darkness shall be as noonday. And the Lord will guide you, what? Continue. Divine direction. Someone says, I don't know how to hear from God. I don't get when I want to know who I'm supposed to marry. There are three people asking for my hand. I need direction for this. Clear direction will come. Take note of that. The Lord will guide you, and not just once. He will guide you continually. Then, here is another one. Prosperity comes from fasting. It will satisfy your soul in drought. Even in the time of famine, global meltdown, all kinds of financial crunch, it will affect the person. Fasting frees you from that. Fasting breaks financial yoke. And it breaks the problem of stagnation. Then he also said, and strengthen your bones, and you shall be like what? A watered garden. Fasting makes you look younger and it gives you divine health. I've talked about healing. Thank God for healing. But everybody's not sick. I told you it detoxifies your system. You will shed some years. You also shed weight. Then you shed some wrinkles too. If you fast the acceptable way, if you don't drink water, you might gain some more wrinkles and some gray hair. You, at the end of it, you just be healthier. Your body feels different. You just know that you are alive. Because sometimes you are alive, but you feel like you are dying. Too much food, too much laziness, sedentary life, too much accumulation of weights. You will be like a watered garden. And like the spring of water, whose water do not fail. The last thing about fasting is that it breaks generational curses and empowers people to rebuild ancient desolation. I'm sure you can. I want you to actually read verse 12 with me. One, two, go. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. They shall raise up the foundations of many generations. And you shall be called the repairer of the bridge, the restorer of the streets to dwell in. Now, in your family, and fasting also raises deliverers in nations. It raises anointed and powerful men of God, people whose ministry bring restoration. But in your family, it raises you to become one of the persons. If they still have mud houses, maybe they still have all those kind of things. Businesses don't grow. Fasting is the key. You're going to reverse it. Generational curses are broken. When you engage in fasting, I told you that kind, this kind, those stubborn demons, those ones that won't normally yield, add fasting, and you break them. The strongholds will tumble down. The prince of Persia will collapse. The territorial power over your family will give way. That obstacle will bow. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? How many did I give you? 7. Away. He said 9, 10. Are you sure you didn't write some 2? But let's add one more. Let's add one more. I mentioned it, but I just want to add it again. Fasting breaks, helps you to break habits and moral bondages, habitual sins, besetting sins, addictions, all of that. Fasting helps you to break them. But remember verse 2, they that be of thee shall rebuild the old waste places. They shall raise up the foundations of many generations. If they say, you lay foundation for a building, you die. Add fasting. Add sacrifice.
And you can reverse that trend in the family. It's a barrenness, long-standing barrenness, that nothing can be done about it. Add fasting, add sacrifice. You will reverse it. Can I give you one more? You want one more? Are you not tired of the blessings? You want to collect all of them? I want all of them, my dear. If somebody does something, let him get the result. That means no malice. That means no marital wahala. Can I hear an amen?
Amen?
That means no using your mouth to destroy somebody. If you've done it, all you need to do is repent. If you don't repent, he's going to destroy this effort you are making. The last benefit of fasting is that God will give you, cause you to ride on the high places of the earth. God will give you the heritage of Jacob, the heritage of Abraham. There's a covenant of promotion, of distinction. It's a covenant, a part of the covenant that gave us distinction. We can't just be floating with others. That singles us out. Why don't you lift your hands and just ask God for grace to go through this January and maximize this opportunity to achieve tremendous things. And I also want to challenge you. The Lord said, I should tell you that you have right to demand for those benefits. You keep the condition, stay away from strife, don't gossip about people. You also have right to demand for those benefits. You can break any form of financial stagnation. Lift your hands and just bless him and receive grace for this season of consecration. Sing that song.